side of the right. Singing now, oh, who is on the Lord's side among you? Who will help us join in the fight? Who is on the Lord's side among you? Who is on the side of the right?
Now to God is granted all Son on the Calvary to die. Oh, and that same Son gave His life on
Old. Aren't you glad that He did, church?
Now tell me who is on the Lord's side tonight.
Oh, let's sing about it now. Yes, who is on the Lord's side?
Is on the Lord's side tonight.
Hallelujah. I am. Are you on the Lord's side? Give Him a big hand clap of praise tonight. Oh, isn't it good to be on the winning team? Praise the Lord. To be on the Lord's side, you can't lose. There's no way you can lose. It's impossible to lose. Who's on the Lord's side? Give Him one more hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Sing it verse for me one more time. Let's sing a little bit more of that tonight.
Now to God is granted all.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Why don't you turn around, shake somebody's hand, and ask them this. Whose side are you on? Praise the Lord. Amen. Somebody say praise the Lord. They can't praise the Lord. sing that chorus one more time. Oh, tell me who is on the Lord's side among you. Who will help us join? Oh, who is on the Lord's side among you? The side of the right. Amen. God bless you tonight. I'm going to let you be seated. We've got several prayer requests we're going to let you know about tonight. Brother Jackie Benton's going to come, and if he don't have anything else on his heart, he's going to do that chorus for us. I claim the blood. That's his signature song, isn't it? And if he will, Brother Jackie, unless you've got something else on your heart. Sister Jan Hall says, please pray with me for the healing of my great-granddaughter, Natalie. She is 4 months old, and she all of a sudden stops breathing because of a heart condition. Doctors are doing more testing on her, so let's just pray for that child, that the Lord would give her a complete healing in her little body. You believe God's able to do that? Certainly we do. Sister Phyllis Phillips would like to thank the Lord for bringing her through her reconstructive foot surgery today. She'll be in the hospital for a few days and desires your prayers in the upcoming days that she'll not suffer a lot of pain in her foot. And the Lord is able to help her in that. We'll just commit that to the Lord. Brother Sam Clark, he wants to thank everyone for their prayers for Sister Gail. And ask that you keep on praying. She isn't doing very well, but we know God can turn bad situations into good things, can't he? We just commit her to the Lord. Amen. I want to pray for Brother Jerry Glenn, who has a fever, flu-like symptoms. Pray for Brother Wade Altland. He's having trouble with his blood pressure. And we'll have tests on his heart next week, so let's remember that. And we'll pray for a Bill. I'll not get that last name right. I'm going to say Luzander. I don't know, that's probably not close to right, but anyway, who had a massive stroke and was asking, actually has swelling on the brain. A friend of Sister Deanna Glenn's family, they're asking that we would pray for that need and just commit it unto the Lord. I want to pray for Brother Richard Baker, coughing spasms, not feeling well in body, so let's pray for him. James Smith from Georgia had triple bypass surgery today. I want to pray for his recovery, so let's remember that need. I want to pray for Brother Johnny Rigsby. He has shingles, so let's pray that the Lord would touch our brother. We'll remember Brother Reese sends this in. My neighbors at Fall Branch, Rosie and Rick Trivett. Rosie's in the hospital in Kingsport in bad condition, so let's pray for that need, that the Lord would be mindful of those folks. Brother Frank Williams says, please pray for Sister Jackie. She had some tests done this week that were not as good as she was hoping for. So let's remember her tonight as we pray. And Brother Barclay says that Matt Kincaid needs the mind of the Lord to help in decision for his life's journey. He looks so different now serving the Lord, so just seeking a closer walk with the Lord. So let's pray for that need. And then Sister Mary Lewis, she's got so many. I'm not going to take the time to read all of this, but it's a lot to thank the Lord for. And she just wants you to know that she's very grateful to the Lord for all that he has done for her. She does have this prayer request to please pray for my left leg. Since my surgery last year, my left leg has been feeling numb and hard to feel temperatures in it. I thought it may be circulation, but my doctor said it is nerve damage. I believe the Lord can heal this just as he did the migraine last week. So we just commit her to the Lord and thankful for all the things that she is desiring to praise the Lord for. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. Brother Jackie, come. I'm going to ask you to stand with us again tonight. Brother Jackie's going to sing a chorus. We'll join and help him, and then we'll help our brother as he prays over these needs tonight. We appreciate this guy right here, don't we? Amen. Love you, brother. You are God. We appreciate you.
I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those friends. precious blood stain were made there just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain, when I need healing, I claim those precious blood stains. Sing it again. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were measured just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain, when I I claim those precious blood stains.
Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we're so thankful, Lord, tonight for this privilege that we have, Lord, that we can come, Lord, and say, Lord, that we're on your side tonight. And Lord, we're thankful for the blood. Thank you for a finished work at Calvary tonight, Lord. Hallelujah, you said it is finished. And Lord, we know tonight, Lord, that you're concerned for every need, Lord, that we have here tonight, Lord, in the hands that's been raised. I ask you, dear God, that you will come tonight, Lord, and you'll speak, Lord, the word tonight, Lord, and bring healing to the bride of Jesus Christ. Healing is the children's bread. And Father, Lord, we ask you that you'll come tonight. Many requests, Lord, we can't remember them all, Lord. Hallelujah, but we know, Lord, that you, hallelujah, you're concerned for every need. Hallelujah, Lord, we ask you, dear God, that you will, Lord, minister to the needs, Lord, unless you come tonight. There's, Lord, needs tonight, Lord, unless you come and intervene, there is no hope. Our hope is in you, Lord Jesus, tonight. And we're so glad that we've got a living hope tonight. Hallelujah. Not, Lord, as the world, Lord, gives. But, Father, we know, the Lord, that our hope is in thee. I pray, dear God, tonight, Lord, for every soul that is here, for the musicians, Lord. I pray, dear God, that you, Lord, give them strength, Father, tonight, Lord, and encouragement, Lord, tonight, Lord, for their service, O God, that they render, Lord, that others might be blessed. May, Lord, you come tonight, Father, minister, Lord, to us through the word, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord, we ask you, dear God, that you'll have your divine and perfect will in this service, Lord, and meet the needs, Lord, tonight we pray. Lord, I asked a sister yesterday, I said, are you looking forward to the festival? She said, I'm looking forward to the services. Hallelujah, I'm looking forward to church. And God, tonight we're looking forward to church again tonight. Hallelujah, that you'll minister, oh God, to the needs of your people, Father, through thy word. Thank you for every testimony, Lord, that has gone forth. And thank you for what you're doing tonight in Jesus Christ's name. And amen, and amen.
Amen. Don't go off yet. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're a visitor here tonight, we certainly want to welcome you. The Saunders here from Canada. God bless you, Washington, Canada, somewhere that part of the world. We're glad to have you folks with us tonight. If you're streaming this service tonight, we want to say, hope it's a blessing to you. I'd like to hear him sing a verse of that song, wouldn't you? Ain't nobody can sing it like you, buddy. Sing it for us.
I have a source of strength when I am weak. It helps me through when life is pressing me. I have a source of power from above. I'm covered over by a shield of blood.
Hallelujah.
I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. day. We're made there just for me. And my pain, when I need you, I just claim those precious bloods. I do not know how others make it through, who never go to Calvary. Precious blood stain. Sing it one more time. I claim the blood Jesus shed. Glory. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Those precious blood stain were made there just for me. Oh, my sin, my sickness, and my pain. When I need healing, I just claim those precious bloods.
Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. Brother David Swanson has a song. If you'll be coming to get ready to sing for us, let me make this announcement. When Brother Donnie comes out here just in a little bit, or ever who the speaker would be tonight, if they pray or when they pray, let's not forget the Willis family. Sister Willis' mother passed away, and I guess they had her burial today. Is that right? So let's remember those folks in prayer. Let me make this announcement in regard to the Fall Festival. Anyone helping with Fall Festival, please meet in the fellowship hall after service. The festival will begin at 5:30 p.m. Food items will be available starting at 6 p.m. If you do not work at the festival, please refrain from going into a workstation. These are volunteers and not professionals. Somebody say amen. And need to keep their full attention on what they're doing. Remember, we want you to enjoy the food and the activities that have been made available. Cleanup will be on Saturday morning at 9:30. Any help would be greatly appreciated. Any questions, see Brother Michael Bailey. Now, are we covered on everything, Brother Michael? Is everything good? We're in good shape. No more volunteers, right? Okay. Well, that's a good thing. Brother David, where are you at? I like to hear this guy sing, and he's going to, amen. And he's going to sing a song tonight. They hardly nobody can sing it like him. I guess this is one of your signature songs too. He came to me. I like to hear him sing that, don't you? Give Brother David a hand tonight as he gets ready to sing. Love you, brother.
The gulf that separated me from Christ my Lord, it was so vast, the crossing I could never ford. From where I was to his domain, it seems so far. I cried, dear Lord, I cannot come to where you are. He came to me, oh, he came to me when I couldn't come to where he was. He came to me. That's why he died on Calvary. When I couldn't come to where he was, he came to me. He came to me when I was bound in chains of sin. Oh, he came to me when I had no peace within. Then he picked me up and he gently drew me to his side, where today in his sweet love I now abide. He came to me, oh, he came to me when I couldn't come to where he was. He came to me. That's why he died on Mount Calvary. When I couldn't come to where he was, he came.
Let's stand tonight. Had some tremendous services here over the weekend. Brother David Seiler blessed our heart. And certainly good to have our pastor back home tonight. Thank God that they made a safe journey. Sister Reagan, God bless you. Glad to have you back home with us. Let's sing a chorus tonight. It's out of this world. Your package that God has given to you, it's out of this world. Aren't you glad that it is? Somebody say praise the Lord. Give me one more hand clap of praise tonight. It's out of this world. Out of this world. Telling you the place where I'm going. It's out of this world. Flowing by, where we'll never have to say.
Christian saints. Happy to be back together in the house of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
Let's turn to Genesis chapter 25, verse 29, if you would. Heard you had some really wonderful services while we was gone. Our God's a wonderful God, isn't he?
Yes, sir.
Genesis chapter 25, verse 29. I'm going to speak again tonight about Jacob, the lives of the prophets. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage." Actually, the English is red pottage, but the Hebrew is red. "Feed me with the same red. For I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. So he got this name Edom before this event ever happened. So he's named two ways. He's named historically and prophetically. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I'm at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me?"
Think about it.
And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" Let's bow our heads together if you would. And we'd like to be remembered tonight before the Lord. Amen. Yes, Lord Jesus. Heavenly Father, we are so grateful to be called your children tonight, Lord. We thank you for the opportunity, dear God, that we could be gathered here in this place that's been set aside. We call it the church and we call it a place of worship. But Lord, it's only a temporary building that we have dedicated and consecrated to you, where we can come and worship and pray and sing. But we realize one day it'll be nothing but fodder. It'll be nothing but ashes. The shingles, the blocks, the concrete, the pews, this pulpit that I've stood behind for all these years will be totally annihilated. But how grateful we are to know that that living word can never be destroyed. We desire, Father, that we can be a part of that. Lord, I pray that you would help us tonight as we look into your word. May you speak to us by these things which have been written. We believe they are written for fact. They are written for our benefit, for our admonition. May the presence of God teach us. Help us to have an open heart and a teachable spirit, Father, in Jesus' name. And the saints said,
Amen.
Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. So the hunter has returned from the hunt. He does not have what he set out to find. As I read to you the last time we looked at this, that historically Jacob is doing this, it's kind of out of his position to sod pottage. The Targum of Jonathan says Abraham has now died, and this lentils or pottage is the food of mourners. So Jacob is actually fixing this stew, soup type of thing, which is still a common meal among many of these people to this day. Take the pottage, a lentil, sort of like a pea, and they'll mix it with a rice, or if you live in another part of the country, a corn type base like masa from Africa. And Jacob he doesn't really plan on Esau coming through. But once Esau arrives and he sees the opportunity, he's going to very well seize the opportunity. Now notice in verse 29, Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field and was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "I pray thee, with that same red pottage. Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage or red, red. For I am faint. Therefore was his name called Red, Edom. Now, it was made red. Of course, lentil was a more brown, but it was made red by an infusion of saffron or a mixture together of other things by which it would release and produce this red color. But isn't it amazing that this man was named this initially by his birth because he was hairy all over and he had red hair? But yet, his name, according to the way Moses framed it here, he was not just red because of the color of his hair, but he was named Edom prophetically because God saw this hour would arise. Now, it's amazing that God would allow men to name you a certain thing because of a natural circumstance that they would see, but God prophetically could name you or a church or an age whenever you wouldn't see the reasons why to call it that. Can you imagine when Brother Annam was here and saying the many things he was saying about Pentecost and the denominations and the Laodicean age, that people back there in the 40s and 50s and 60s, they looked and said, what is he talking about? It's nothing like what he's describing. It's nothing like what, whenever he told the vision of seeing the church with the stripped off naked, basically had just a little bit of the newspaper. And you imagine them dancing to rock and roll and how the preacher sat there and heard that. Told him, I thought, man, this guy's crazy. There's no way the church looks like that. But prophetically, that's exactly the way it was going to look. Now here, Esau has this name Edom, and now the identity of what he's going to eat and the prevalence that he puts upon his appetite and desire, what he's going to eat is going to identify who he is. Now listen, he's going to be called Edom. Already, he's called Edom or Esau. Of course, this is where the Edomites come from. Now, here God is moving it into a place to show that there is then a spiritual parallel, that what a person in the way that they place their appetite, what they really want in life, and the emphasis that they place upon, that's the way God will call them. So if they want riches and wealth and money and all that sort of thing, God will, before they even manifest it, he will call them Laodiceans. And if they are of the Word, they want the Word, they want to feed on the Word, they've got to have the Word, God will go ahead and call them bride before they're truly even manifesting that title of bride yet, based upon what God sees the way they're going to eat. So my advice to you is, eat well. And eat what you want your destiny to become. So if you want to become a Laodicean bound for the tribulation period, then my advice to you would be eat on wealth, eat on money, eat on carnality, eat on the things of the world. But if you want a body change, you better eat this word 24/7. That is if you want a body change. You can't eat on the world and on the things of the world and be called the bride, not by God anyway. Now what? So here Esau, he comes to Jacob, and you imagine that he's able to smell this pottage as it comes across through there, and the barometric pressure must have been just really right, and this type of arid type of setting anyway, to where it would be able to roll along a long way, not being humid, to where the humidity would absorb part of the scent, but you know how it is in dry times, how that the scent will carry farther, and maybe the wind blowing it over the valley valley, the valleys and the dales, and it's coming across, and oh my, Esau has been out there hunting. He hasn't got any game. He's not been able to reach anything at all. And all of a sudden, he smells this. Now, Jacob is out here in preparation because Abraham has now died. Now, as I pointed to you last time we dealt with this, that Abraham has been alive for several years now. But yet, there's been no scripture written about Abraham's life because the emphasis has changed from the greater to a lesser. And because the emphasis has changed, Abraham has entered into that silent time of his life. Though by walk, by character, by predestination, he is a greater man than Isaac was, but the glory of the light had now changed from Abraham to Isaac. So here Abraham is living in the silent years of his life. Now, you know, Jacob is the kind of a man that he's not beneath him to take advantage of a person in dire strait. Now, watch this in verse 31. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Now, I don't remember him saying anything about selling, swapping, trading, buying. He's just asking for something to eat. Now, this is his brother, full-blooded brother. Now, what would you think of a man that would see his brother hungry, faint, starving, as we'd say, and he comes up upon his brother, and he asks him for something to eat, and he doesn't say, well, sure, baby, come on, man, I'm sorry, I'm really sorry that hasn't worked out for you. Come on, come on, I was fixing to eat this, but let me give it to you. But before he gives him one bite of anything, he says, sell me thy birthright. Well, neither one of these guys are really the type of character that I'd want tonight. Well, you say Jacob. No, I don't want to be like Jacob was then. Now, what Jacob wanted was right, but the way Jacob went about it was evil. I said it was evil. Now, let me tell you something, friend. I don't know how that God would have got Jacob the birthright, but he would have. I do not know how God would have orchestrated it and worked it out so that Jacob would have got the birthright, but if Jacob would have waited, God would have done it. And you see, God doesn't always, in retrospect, go back and say, now look, if you would have waited on me, I would have done this, this, and this. Sometimes God may do that, but many times God does not. You ought to be saying amen, because every one of us have went about things in life exactly the same way that Jacob did. Maybe there was something that God wanted us to have, but we got in a big fizz and we got all worked up, and boy, we was going to work it out and we was going to help God out, and we wound up getting it, but it cost us about 20 years because we went about it the wrong way. Now, Jacob is going to pay dearly because, not because of what he got, but the way he wound up getting it. Now, here's something that is absolutely ordained of God for this man to have. But it was not ordained of God the way that he went about doing it. Now, notice Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. Now, why does he want the birthright? To us today, of course, in the Western civilization, the birthright means nothing to us. But let's pull it in terms now, in the way that their thinking was of what the birthright was. And I put some of these things down so you'd be able to read them with me. Now, the birthright was succession to the earthly inheritance of Canaan. Succession to the earthly inheritance of Canaan. Now look at all the attributes or the aspects by which the birthright, this is what Esau held, and this is what Jacob wanted. Now secondly, it was the possession of the covenant being transmitted through the paternal benediction. Now, if whoever inherits this birthright receives the possession of the covenant, and when they receive that possession, they also receive the right to extend this same thing unto whomsoever God would anoint them to do. So it don't just stop with them, but they also have the power, Lord have mercy, they have the power of spiritual transfer. They have the ability given by God to transfer this which they have received to the next one in line. Now this is what Esau had. So he had the right to the land of Canaan. He also had the right by which whenever he would get ready to die, that he would be able to transfer this and God would actually honor it. Now notice this. And then the third part was that they would be the parent of the promised seed. Now the birthright contained not only natural things, but it contained of course more spiritual benefits. And that was that you would be the parent of the spiritual seed, which is nothing less than Christ the Word. Now, under the Mosaic influence, the privileges of the firstborn were clearly defined. Now, notice how it goes in a little bit more. They involve succession to the official authority of the father. Now, watch this. The official authority of the father. Now, if you run a spiritual parallel on this natural birthright in the Old Testament, it will show you the difference between the bride and the church. Now, the church has blessings. The church has many answered prayers and all kinds of things, but the church does not have the birthright. The church does not have the birthright, but it is the elect of God, the bride, that receives the birthright. Hallelujah. It is the birthright that has the Father's authority and the Father's full possession of His name. Now watch then, the firstborn also received a double portion of the Father's property. A double portion of the Father's property. So it was like the Elisha's anointing off of Elijah. So now the church nominal, they will have things that will happen to them, but the bride will have something up and beyond that. Praise God. Also the functions of the domestic priesthood. Now this is what the firstborn would have. They would actually receive the domestic functions of the priesthood. So whenever they would receive this birthright, it would be his, it would be the heir of the land of Canaan. He would also have the ability to divinely transfer this covenant blessing on, and it would go from him to the next, to the next, to the next, to the next, on down to the very end of the line. He would be able to receive the ability to parent or father the promised seed of God. Also receive the Father's full authority. And also be able to bring this now to where they would be the priestly family of all the earth. Now in Jacob's case, this meant that he would be the father of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now Jacob had a great desire to be able to covet this birthright. But the means he's going to use is absolutely terrible. Now look in verse 32. And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" Now, in the sense of looking at it from his perspective, you see what a carnal-minded individual that Esau truly was. Because he's living only for the moment. He's living for, "Well, I can't go to church. I can't do this because I'm so busy right now. And I'm making so much money and I've got so much to do. And I'll go later. I'll go later. I'll really get on fire for God whenever I get all my living made. And, you know, I get my last Cadillac paid for and I get my 13th boat paid for. And all this, I want too much stuff right now. And after all, I can stream. I can stream, and let me tell you something. For those of you who use streaming as a crutch, I would not want to be in your shoes and try to make the rapture. If you can go to the house of God and you stay home and use it as a stream, God will make you answer at the day of judgment. Well, you got quiet on me. Streaming was never meant to take place of you coming to the house of God. Paul never said, "Let us join together on the internet, but let us not forsake the assembling of ourselves together." Praise the Lord. Now watch, his cares and his affections did not look beyond the present moment. He was not thinking about Jesus Christ. He was not thinking about the ability. He was not thinking of his own children, what he was doing for them. Now remember, they are going to be represented in the very move that Esau is fixing to make. They will be condemned by representation. And Jacob said, swear unto me this day. And he swore unto him. Now watch him. He's going to subtly move. He does not just want Esau's word. Remember, he's not giving him one bite yet. He wants the birthright. He wants him to sell him the birthright. And then he wants him to swear because Jacob understands what can happen if you pause. Now, if you give him the food, you give him the pottage and the bread and all of that, and then maybe he may change his mind afterwards. But while he's still got his hunger there, while he still has the moment there, the dire strait that he's in, he wants him to swear and wants him to promise. Now, remember, as in the womb, when Esau come out and Jacob grabbed a hold of his heel, here the plain man, the man of the tents, the man which is seemingly the man that most people would not prefer to be around, he turns out to be the hunter and Esau turns out to be the prey. Now Jacob knew the value, of course, of the birthright. Now this is a very critical time. No doubt his mother had told him for years and years that he was the one because God had told her that he was going to be the one. So he's waiting for an opportunity and waiting for it to rise. Now here is a critical time. And he feels like he must move. And surely God will forgive him for lying. Surely God will forgive him for being a deceiver. Because really he's doing it for the word of God. When you figure you have to lie for the word of God and deceit for the word of God, you're anointed of the devil. Now watch. Then Jacob gave Esau. Now he's going to give him a little bonus. Just out of brotherly love. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils. And he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. He has no idea what he's just done. He eats, drinks, wipes his mouth, and gets up and goes his way. He has now crossed the line. He can never come back. He has reached the point of no return. He has sold his entire inheritance. Not only him, but all of his seed line forever. And he gets up and walks away as if though nothing has happened. So he eats and he drinks and my enjoys it. And then he rose up. You think of this, and went his way, thus Esau despised his birthright. Look at this word, despise. Hold in contempt, to be despicable, to be vile, worthless. Do you understand, friends, many of those who have pulled away from this message and are blasting the word and the prophet of God, do you understand they're in exactly the same place today as Esau was? They rise up and eat and they walk away and they go their own way. They feel no remorse. They feel no sorrow. That'll strike them later. As it did Esau. Now watch, so Esau, by putting the value, now let's look at this again. So here is the right of progenitor, the right to bring forth and father Christ, the right to inherit all the land of promise, the right to be the priest's family, the right to the father's name, the father's seal, the father's title. Now he puts the price of all of that. And this was his price, a bowl of stew and a piece of bread. So you take this bowl of stew and this piece of bread and you line up all these blessings over here and you trade this for all of this. Don't misunderstand me, but a person who will do that is worthy to go to hell and be annihilated. They are not worthy to step one foot on streets of gold. Oh, you got quiet on me. Why? They despise the right to receive the Holy Ghost. They despise the right to sit in a message church and feed on the message of there. Even though they may not be bright, they'd be better off sitting there and at least saying amen, even if they may not be able to swallow it down, than turning their back against it and promoting lies and so on and so forth. But yet your Esau valued all of these things, and he looked at this and said, to me, this is worth more. The women who've left the message, and one of the first things, they can't wait till they get their hair cut off and get them a pair of breeches or a pair of shorts on. You know why? That's what they value. So they take all these years of sitting under the message and all they've seen and heard, and they put that in one pile, and then they take a pair of pants and a pair of scissors and all of that, and they said, to me, this is of more value. And they despise their right to at least be called a hawk, which is a brother to the eagle. They're not bright anyway, but at least they could be saved and wind up being the church. But many of them forfeit their rights to even be called the church. They will be called the damned, the rejected, the annihilated, the tribulation period people. Why? Why do you say that, Brother Donnie? I'm judging it by what they're feeding on. If Esau was called Edom because of what he ate, if you feed on worldliness and bobbed hair and painted faces, I'll call you a tribulation period headed person. Unless you change your ways. Oh, but I'm bride. You're not bride if you're eating out of a hog trough. Because bride don't eat out of a hog trough. That's right. She eats seed. That's right. Now what? So he despised his birthright, the value that he placed on it. So the birthright from the patriarchs, let me read this to you. Abraham and Isaac was something of great value. There were two parts to the birthright. The first part was the double portion part, which meant the holder of the birthright got a double portion of the inheritance. Don't you understand, friend, why? We've got to live higher than church. We get a double portion. We not only get, our sins forgiven and praise God. We're no longer bound by the devil. The church, many of them get that. Well, hallelujah, I don't just go get drunk on Sunday and all that. Many of them don't do that anymore. But we get that plus. I said we get that plus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That part of the birthright was common to all families. The second part was the divine prince part. This part was unique to Abraham's family. It involved Jesus Christ. It meant that the one with the birthright have as his descendant the great Messiah, the Savior, Jesus Christ. That within itself, my Lord, that within itself, for a real person who believes God, you put 10 million worlds all on one side and take that one principle that you could be in line to Father, the physical body of the Lord Jesus. A real believer would say, are you kidding me? You can make it 100 million worlds, make it 1 trillion worlds, make it 1 billion worlds, and I wouldn't trade. But to somebody like Esau, they'll take all of that in their mascara and their lipstick and put it in a small bowl. Can you imagine what you're getting back? You're getting treasures. You're getting blessings that are fathomless. You're getting blessings on this side that can't even be counted. They're so innumerable that we can't even, we can't even comprehend with our minds what all involves in all of this. And yet you'll trade it for what you can put in a cereal bowl. sad, isn't it? Very sad. Let's read now in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Paul says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Now, Paul is talking about apostasy in his day. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Now, remember, a root grows down beneath the dirt. It can be hid for years and years and years, but eventually that root will spring up. Now he said, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau. Fornicator. Esau, a fornicator. So he was a fornicator, a profane person, as Esau, who for one morsel of meat. Now remember, meat was used interchangeably among the Hebrews for food. It might be soup, it might be bread, but yet they would call it meat. So for one morsel of meat, he sold his birthright. So how was he a fornicator? Genesis 26, 34. And Esau was 40 years old when he took to wife Judith, the daughter of Beeri the Hittite. And Basemath, the daughter of Elon, the Hittite. So he believes in polygamy. And he marries heathen women. Fornication. Fornication. What does the church see in the book of Revelation? Commit spiritual fornication with the world. Now remember, here he is. He's identified by his action, by the women that he marries. So he joins himself up with Hittite women. Now remember, Abraham had hundreds of people that were following his message. And once Abraham kind of faded back off the scene, then Isaac became the messenger in that sense. So no doubt many of these people were still following the message as the light had now moved over to Isaac. So he could have went to his own message to find a woman to marry. But instead he went to the Hittites. Notice verse 35, what the Bible says about this now. Which were a grief of mind unto Isaac and to Rebekah. Notice again now, chapter 28, verse 8. And Esau, seeing the daughters of Canaan, pleased not Isaac his father. Then went Esau unto Ishmael, and took unto the wives which he had Mahalath, the daughter of Ishmael, Abraham's son, the sister of Najahoth, to be his wife. So now Esau, here he is, Isaac's son, Isaac's choice, Isaac's favorite son. So he marries two Hittite wives, and then when he sees that doesn't go over good in the message, what he does is he goes over to Ishmael, which was an enemy of the message, and then he marries another woman inside the rebellion. Why? Because he saw his mom and daddy didn't like it. Would you give a man like that the inheritance to Christ? Ain't no way. There ain't no way God's going to give this man the birthright. There is no way God's going to give him the patronage. There's no way God's going to make him the priest. He does not care about the inheritance of the seed line. He cares about himself. And when he finds something makes his mom and daddy mad, what does he do and upsets them? He only antagonizes them more. Boy, it sounds like a lot of church folks around the message. So Paul said, lest there be any fornicator. So Esau was a fornicator. How? He married worldly, ungodly women. Shame on any boy in this message that'll go out there and marry some Jezebel, because she looks more worldly instead of a girl filled with the Holy Ghost in the message. Come on, children, say amen. Oh, my. Now, Paul proceeds on in using this example and in dealing with Esau as a type of apostasy. Now you think Esau, you could not get a more perfect example of being an apostate than you would Esau, because he had the right, of the firstborn. He had the right to be the father, literally, of Jesus Christ, to be the priest, to have his father's name, his name on the check, as good as Isaac's name was. So this was his right, but he looked at that and said, bunch of holy rollers, they're too strict, I can't handle all this stuff. Don't do this and don't do that. Don't marry a Hittite, don't do that. I'm sick of all this stuff. Oh my. And the Bible says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person. And the word profane means a common person, one who lives for the world and not God. Our English word literally means outside the temple or not belonging to God. So he was a fornicator and one who lived outside of the temple of God or did not belong to God. Philo says this. He regarded Esau as enslaved by sensual and temporal desires because of actions such as this that we just read. Esau did not act as if he viewed life in a long-range perspective. But Esau lived for the moment. He lived for now. He wasn't worried about his kids 5 years down the road or 2 years down the road. My, it amazes me how parents don't think it's so important to get themselves in church and then their kids go stark raving mad, and after they've turned into absolute spiritual idiots, they want to bring them to church and fix me and expect me to do some kind of abracadabra stuff and turn them around. All the trash you've let them watch on television, all the nonsense you've let them go through in years, it'll be a miracle if some of them ever get saved. And it'll be your fault if they go to hell. Maybe I should have let Brother David preach again tonight. Oh my. You imagine. For a savory meal. For a few moments of satisfaction. Jesus, I'm going to trade this bowl of pottage for you. Isaac, my father, I'm going to trade my name on the check. But you know, you wonder if Isaac was not partly to blame. Oh, as I go on tonight, amen, it's going to be like hen's teeth, I'm afraid. Now watch Paul as he picks up in verse 17. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place. Dear God. He found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Now he don't come back and try to find repentance in the way he sold it out. He didn't sell it out carefully. He sold it out foolishly. But he tries to seek repentance carefully. It's well sought out, well thought through. You know, something that he feels like will really come to God. And he come carefully. He come precautiously. Come in the way he felt like God would accept it. And he come with tears. Paul says when he would have inherited the blessing, it was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Look at this word, rejected. Disallow. To disapprove. Repudiate. As reprobate. So God let Esau move into a state of a reprobate mind. He shed tears, cried, wept. God wouldn't even hear him. God said, there'll come a day that you'll scream and holler, and I'll mock at you. I'll laugh. Oh, Laodicea. When the bombs go to dropping from Russia, and your eyeballs fall off, and your skin falls off of your arms, and you go to calling on the name of Jesus, America, America, how oft God would have gathered you together.
as a hen doth gather her brood. But you would not. Now you're hanging in the balance. You're ashamed of what you were just a few years ago. You're a laughing stock in the eyes of the Arabs. You're a laughing stock in the eyes of Europe. You're a laughing stock in the eyes of the world. America the beautiful. America the cursed. America the beautiful. America the damned. There will be no revival. There will be no saving her. She's done too far gone. She turned down God's prophet. Not only that, she's turned down God's bride. She has rejected revival. She has rejected a move of God. And the only thing that even keeps it from striking her now is because the work of God is not done yet. There's some elect here and around the world that God will finish up. And when he does, he pulls back his hand. God have mercy. Mercy. Watch this. There's only one way provided for God by anything in Chicago in 1963. Brother Ben said, if you notice, Lucifer is doing exactly the same thing today that he did at the beginning. Lucifer at the beginning wanted to build himself a kingdom which was greater and more beautiful than Michael's kingdom, Christ. What is it? He's doing it with fallen angels, fallen Lutherans, fallen Methodists, fallen Pentecostals. Now you understand why Brother Branham had to stop there. Because the message had not come and been established. But we must add one more in order for the succession to run true. Fallen Lutherans, fallen Methodists, fallen Pentecostals, fallen message followers. Notice what happened to them, and they lost their original estate from the Word of God. And going right back to make a big ecumenical move, fallen messengers, messengers who once stayed, Lord, with the Word, but sold out their birthrights and joined in with the world. The same thing, it's at the last day. And Lucifer is achieving today, listen to this, you're talking about frightening, by men with those spirits in them. Don't you understand how some of these liars and blasphemers are even effective anyway? There ain't a gifted one among them. There ain't a gifted one among them. Nobody. They wouldn't get off the ground in Pentecost. They wouldn't get off the ground in any good, sensible, thinking move. But don't you see why they can even gain any success and any hold among the people? It's them same spirits that fell, oh God, before the foundation of the world. It is taking up human bodies. And them fallen spirits are getting in human beings. And they're becoming so much like them fallen spirits. They talk apostasy. They eat apostasy. They drink apostasy. Why? They're apostates. Oh my. But if they can do that with fallen spirits in them, what ought the bride of Jesus Christ? Oh, hallelujah! If they can eat apostasy and talk apostasy, surely we ought to be able to eat the Word and talk the Word and believe the Word and become the Word and be changed by the Word. Lucifer is achieving today, my men, with those spirits in them that he did with the angels at the beginning, fallen angels who kept not their first estate to obey God. And he's doing the same thing today. Notice this again in Victory Day. Jacob was a coward, yet he had the blessings of God. God had promised to bless him. He had the birthright. Amen. What a type of the church today. What's the baptism of the Holy Spirit? With the promise of God's Word to vindicate it. Because you become part of that Word. The birthright. Lord have mercy. You become, don't you understand, this is your birthright. What do you mean, Brother Donner? You have the right to be born by the Word. That's your birthright. The Word is your Father. Jacob had the birthright, amen. His brother didn't care about it. He had the birthright because his brother sold it to him for a mess of pottage. So has the church world today sold their birthright. And thank God we got it. Y'all don't want to follow the message no more. Good. That means there's more for me. Y'all don't want it? Fine. That's more for me to get fat on. I'm going to get so spiritually fat, I'm going to look like a Samoa wrestler. I'm going to weigh about 3,392 pounds and 14 ounces. I'm going to be able to just flick one of my arms and knock devils coming and going. I want to be a giant of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Whenever the devil sees me enter in the room, the devil say, oh no, here he comes again. Here he comes again. He's lost his mind. The man's eating himself crazy. I'm eating myself righteous. I'm eating myself holy. I'm eating myself pure and clean. You don't want it? Fine. I got it. Brother Ben said, we got it. What do we care about the union of churches and League of Nations and all these other things? As long as you've got that birthright. You want the world? Go ahead. You want to leave the message? Go ahead. Leave us alone. More room at the table for us if you really want it anyhow. You don't have to fool much, you hogs. And dogs. Because that's what you are. You're dogs. You're going back to your vomit. Oh, yeah. Some of these folks that's left the message now, you know, now they're free. So now they can drink five beers a day and God don't have an issue with it. As long as you don't drink over five. Former message people. You can do all these kinds of things. So who's making the new rules? I'll tell you who's making it. The king of Apollyon. Abaddon, Apollyon, he's the one that's pulling them into this drunkenness of Laodicea. Why? It's a Korah move, and Korah wanted to strip the women. Well, Lord, I sure didn't plan on going this way tonight, Lord. Now, Jacob has got the birthright. Let's move to the blessing stage. Genesis chapter 27, verse 1. Came to pass that when Isaac was old, and his eyes were dim so that he could not see, he called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, my son? And he said unto him, behold, here am I. Now Isaac is 137 years old, the same age his brother was, Ishmael, when he died. So blindness has now struck Isaac, along with other things, apparently left him bedridden. So Isaac thinks that he's going to die, although he lived 43 more years after this event. So he lived to be 180 years old. So it goes to show you that God don't show his prophets everything, only what he wants them to know. Now, this seems that it was a temporary blindness that actually came on Isaac. Because if you read the history and the scriptures on a little farther, it seems that it lifted from him. Of course, there might be a reason for it to be there. Who knows? So, now here Isaac is the one that the light of God is shining on for the hour. He's the messenger, we'll say. And the message people are now rallying around Isaac. And Isaac is fixing to try to undermine God's word. Isaac was well aware of what the Lord God had said to Rebekah. But Isaac loved Esau more than Jacob. So Isaac is setting up a pretense. Now I'm going to tell you that we've all pretty much made Jacob, for the most part, the bad guy. And truly, he had a lot of faults. But I hope when I get done with this, you're going to see that this was a very faulty family from the father on down. Now, Esau, by this time, had been married 37 years. He and Jacob are now 77 years old. Jacob is not married. They are now 77 years old. Esau has been married for 37 years. Now he's waited and he's waited. And Isaac knows the spiritual understanding of God. Because remember, Abraham passed it on down to him. So he's the heir, not only bodily, but he's the heir spiritually. So he says unto Esau, Esau, my son, he said, yes, my father, here am I. So watch him now. He owns him as his son. And he said, behold now, I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore, take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow. Go out into the field and take me some venison. And make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Amen. Now this design is totally evil. He is exalting his love for Esau above the predestinated plan of God. Well, I kind of figured the response would get this way when I got about this spot. You know why, friends, this stuff like this bothers us? Because we tend to love hero worship. We tend to love hero worship. But you know what? One day you're going to find out these people right here were just as human as you are. Now watch. Isaac is going to conceal what he's fixing to do. Now he knows enough about his position to know that if he carries this through, God must bless Esau. Because he received that from Abraham, and whoever he chooses, God must honor because of the position that he holds. So he's going to send Esau out, and he's going to, it seems normal stuff, Esau's going to go out, he's going to kill his daddy some game, come back, and he's going to bring it in, and it's going to appear as if though it's a normal everyday or every other day type of thing where Esau does this normally, and he's just going to come back, give him something to eat, and while he's in the tent, he's going to sneak and give him Jacob's birthright, his blessing. Yet God said, that goes to Jacob. So here we see the father is going to try to deceive the father. He put himself ahead of God's word. Why? Because his love, which was not correct anyhow, for Esau, was going to override God's divine providence. It's amazing, when Abraham was fixing to prepare for this, he sent a servant to get a bride for Isaac. When David was fixing to prepare for this, he was getting all the gold and the silver and the material ready for the house of God. When Paul is fixing to prepare for this, he calls a servant of God to come and a pastor, Timothy, to come to be able to establish him in the faith. But when Isaac thinks he's fixing to die, he wants a full belly. Now listen to me, this was a declining believer. You can't take it, can you? You just can't take it. Now you know that Isaac must have known that the birthright had already been sold to Jacob. But his perverted love, he's going to try to help win it back. Did Isaac really think he could fool God? Do you really think you can? Isaac's real problem was he defied the word of God for that day. And he's the messenger of the day. Uh-oh, here we go. I can imagine, boy, if some of these folks today had been in the days of Isaac, they'd made videos and put them on YouTube. And why I left the message? Why I no longer follow Isaac? How could I follow a man that would put his own will above God's will? Friends, do you understand? This is evil, what this man is planning to do. You free will Baptists in this church that love your free will more than you love divine providence. I'm so glad divine providence overrides our stupid human will and our ignorant choices. If God would have let Isaac go on and God hadn't intervened, boy, you talking about a mess, but divine sovereignty. Now look, what Jacob and his mother was fixing to do was not God's way. We know that. But yeah, I'm still curious. I'll probably wait till the change to figure out what in the world would God have done. But I know He would have done something. But Isaac lived by his senses. Watch him. Are you my son Esau? You feel like Esau, but you sound like Jacob. And the only reason he didn't rely on sight, because he couldn't see. But he relied on all the others. It was not a spirit-led man. This is the same man that was standing out in the field in Genesis 24 when he's out there praying and meditating and waiting on God as a perfect type of Christ ready to receive the bride. But as he got older, he began to decline and lose spiritual principles. You said poor old Esau, he was totally innocent. Esau was not innocent. Esau knew he had sold this birthright, yet Esau was determined to get it too. So instead of him saying up to his dad, now daddy, you know this ain't right. I've done sold the thing to Jacob and we'll just let Jacob have it. We'll just let bygones be bygones. But Isaac said, look, you sneak out there and give me some stuff. Jacob won't know it. But let me show you what kind of family this had eroded into. Jacob didn't trust Esau. Esau didn't trust Jacob. Isaac didn't trust Rebekah. And Rebekah didn't trust Isaac. And these are the leaders of the message. Praise God. So here's the leader of the message. His wife is eavesdropping. You can imagine if you'd had your iPhone in that day. You was fixing to leave the message anyway. You'd done made up your mind. You couldn't handle all this pillar of fire stuff. And you can't tie all that sunset cloud and mountain all that stuff together anyhow. So you see her out there one day. So you take out your iPhone. You watch her. And Isaac is saying, look, son, I want you to have the blessing. Sneak out, give me something to eat, bring it back, and I'll give it to you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I'm in the message. Amen.
So how much confidence would you have in Isaac if you was following his camp that day and he's your leader? Now all of you, all except for faultless people here, should be able to say amen. All the rest of you that are perfect, of course, I don't expect you to because you can't relate to this human element. You live in this angelic world of Laura Tabs. I mean, you know, you don't know... Now here we realize that a home takes takes a lot of its chief characteristics from the mother. So can you imagine what kind of a home this had eroded into? Now, she's a little bit younger than Isaac. But he's 137, lived to be 180, so that'd be equivalent to, you know, maybe 50, 60 in our lifespan today. So it's not that he's super, super old. But yet something has happened to them since this typical romantic couple that were joined together in Genesis 24. And you cannot keep from believing that part of it came from their love that they had for their boys, that it came between them. So the husband had a pick and the mother had a pick and both of them are wrong. You cannot have that kind of perverted love and it not affect the husband and wife. Dear Jesus. Now watch in verse 5. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spoke to Esau, his son. Why would Moses not say their son? Moses is now pinning this in the way to catch the moment of the choice of the father and the mother. So watch how Moses pins it. Now Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau, his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. How tragic. How tragic. Now, Rebekah's failure is the same as Jacob's. It's spiritual. It's spiritual. She was right in clinging to the promise of God, but she was wrong in trying to help God out in a way of deceit. Can I go on a little bit? Can I have a few more minutes? God, how would God have done it? Who knows? Maybe if Rebekah and Jacob would have went to Isaac and reminded him of the word. But had they grown so far apart because of the division and the thing that had crept in the home? Husbands and wives, can't you see the value of being able to get along? And be able to love one another. Oh, but Brother Donnie, our kids are all married. I'm talking about two boys that are 77 years old. Anybody here got kids 77 years old? These parents with kids 77 years old, and their choices are still affecting the kids and the grandkids by the things they're doing. Don't think that you stop affecting your children just when they get married and leave. How pitiful that it eroded into such a situation that they cannot sit down and talk. Esau has to sneak behind Rebekah's back. Rebekah has to sneak behind Isaac's back. Jacob has to sneak behind here. They've got to put this on and act like this and say this and do that. To be in the message, their home was a mess. Let's not saying it in a laughing manner, but I'll tell you, friends, I imagine if we knew the reality, there are many message homes that are in a mess because of sin, because of indifference, because a husband and wife no longer have the same goals, the same motives, the same objectives. Their love is divided. Their time is divided. The husband goes one way and the wife goes another way. They never have any time together. They don't have respect for one another. Come on, don't get quiet on me. And look what it led to. Look what it's fixing to lead to. Rebekah told Jacob, "Your curse be on me." She did not know what she was asking. In a day or so, Jacob is going to leave out of her sight and be gone for over 20 years. She will never see him again. Because while he is gone, she will die. It's about it.
Oh, you say, Brother Donnie, I'm elect. God don't even count sin to me. I can do whatever I want to. You better read some more verses in that Bible of yours. Whether you're elect or non-elect, God makes you pay when you do wrong, friend. Because you're sowing seed. Oh, I ask for forgiveness. I ask the blood. That's right. And the blood forgives your sin, but you were sowing seeds. You show me anywhere the scripture or the message says the blood kills them seeds you sowed. Brother Ram says it in Christ, the mystery of God revealed. He said, of all the places where I can preach, seems like this right here is the best place. We make a tape here, it's better here than anywhere I go. He said, but yet this place don't go along with me at all. I come down through them knobs. I'm here 20 minutes. Everything goes to getting swimmy-headed, dark, spooky. And he said, the reason of it is this. He makes it hard on me because I did not go out the first time. You imagine Brother Branham was still paying for listening to his mother-in-law instead of listening to God. What about the blood? Yeah, what about the blood? You saying he wasn't under it? Sure, God forgave his sin. It's like God forgave David's sin, but the sword never left his house. Why? David sowed seeds in the garden come up. Listen, children. God wants us to do right, not only for the sake of doing it, but for the sake of causing us less trouble in our lives and the lives of our children and our grandchildren. God sent a great, great, terrible time upon the children of Israel in the reign of David because Saul had killed some people. David never even done it. That generation of people that David was reigning over never done it. But when they went to inquire of the Lord, God said, because Saul had killed these people. And God was still remembering that. Don't think you can do wrong and get by. Don't think you can be lukewarm and cold and indifferent. Oh, I'm elect. I'm bright. I can do whatever I want to do. You cannot. If anybody ought to be living a standard of holiness and purity, it ought to be the bride of Christ. We want the double blessing life, but we don't want the double blessing that calls to live the kind of life. I mean, it wants to be remembered tonight before the Lord. Your husbands, your wives, you got problems in your home, your marriage, your children. Let God fix it for you. Oh, you say, but I'm old. Are you 137? You have children 77? There's still hope for you. If you want God to help you, He will. He will. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord God, as we look into the lives of these people, may our lives be benefited. As we see how you dealt with them, Lord, these great patriarchs, as we call them, of the faith, now we thank you for them. But Lord, tradition, we have made things out of them that does not exist. We have bleached the humanity almost completely out of them. We've only allowed a few human errors to remain. That's why we go to talking about it. People tighten up. And it makes them afraid. Help them to realize that's tradition that does that to them. Lord Jesus, may we also realize whether it was Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, or Brother Branham, when any son of God or daughter of God does wrong, you do not turn your head to that and let them go on. It may be 5 years, it may be 10, it may be 20 or 30, but that thing will catch up. Help us, Lord. Dear Jesus, forgive us of our shortcomings, Lord. And help us to sow the right kinds of seeds in our garden, Lord. Not only for us, but for our children, our grandchildren. Help me as a minister, as a pastor. If I live my life out, dear God, let me sow seeds here. If another servant of God will take this church and time will go on, Lord, let there be good seeds that I've sown and other men have sown that will produce the right crop. A pure bride for Jesus Christ. Grant it, Lord. May we lay aside our deceit. May we lay aside our crooked ways, Lord, if we have any tonight. May we lay aside, like Abraham, that we only tell half of a truth because the other half would give us some trouble. Help us to lay aside any business dealings that's not 100% right and accurate. What a lot of people call the blessing of the Lord ain't nothing but just a little quirk of dishonesty in the way they do things. And they want to call it the blessing of the Lord. The blessing of the Lord does not deceive and lie and trick and cheat. No, sir. Lord, I'd rather live in a single wide trailer beside the road and drive a 40-year-old car and be honest than to have the so-called blessings and be a crook and a liar and have a terrible reputation and have no honor and most of all stand before you as a hypocrite. Lord, I'd rather be a preacher that have to go out and eat hickory nuts and whatever more, crack walnuts on the side of a hill under a big old walnut tree. By to live in a cave and preach the truth, then compromise, Lord, and have this world's riches. Hide me, Lord Jesus. Hide me behind your blood. So my value is on the lineage of Christ, not on the pottage. Certainly Laodicea's got more than a cereal bowl full today. Oh, they've got all kinds of things they're offering people. Satan's got all kinds of things he'd offer these young people. He's got all kinds of things he's offering the people of this age. And it sure don't look like a cereal bowl. It looks big and large. Now he's enlarged it where he'll offer them Laodicea and Christianity too. So now they think they can have all of that and still be saved and still go in the rapture. Lord Jesus, help us, I pray, not be deceived by his lies. And it, dear God, I don't know how you'll bring your word to pass, but help me not be like Rebecca. Help me not be like Jacob. It's hard on us humans to wait. Lord, we want a revival. We want a stirring. And if we're not careful, we'll have a move. But it'll be a move of carnality or a move of men. And we'll call it the bride's revival. And it'll be nothing but that'll lead to death. Because it's so hard for us to wait and wait. We'll take music and pick it up. We'll take this and that or the other. But Lord God, may we wait patiently on the genuine, true move of the Holy Ghost. Grant it, Lord God. May we stand our feet tonight, church. Hallelujah. You love him with all your heart, children. Just let the Spirit of God search down in your heart. Is there any dishonesty in you? Is there any untruthfulness in you about schoolwork, business deals, whatever, doctrinal things, people in the church, Facebook, whatever it is? Don't think that God will bless you over the top of that. Let's be credible people. People of character. Trustworthy people. A life worthy of this gospel. How many wants that kind of life? Oh, I do. I do. More than anything else in this world. Hallelujah. Let's sing together. Take this whole world. But give me Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. You can have this whole world, but give me Jesus. I'll not turn back. Everybody now, whoa, take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Whoa, you can have this whole world, but give me Jesus. You can have this.
have decided. I'm going to follow Jesus, the message. I have decided. I'm going to follow Jesus, this message, the word of God. I have decided. Oh, Lord. Amen. Amen. The cross before me, the world behind. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. I won't turn back. No, I won't turn back. Everybody now. And all your movies and all your rock and roll. But give me Jesus. I'll not turn back, Lord. I'll not turn back. Oh, you can take this whole world. But give me Jesus. You can have all the bombs from Russia. You can have all that Laodicea has to offer. Give me Jesus. Oh, give me Jesus. I won't turn back. I won't turn back. Oh, I have decided to follow Jesus. I'm gonna follow Jesus. I won't turn back. Oh, oh, I won't turn back. I have started for the kingdom. Oh, Lord, I've started for my Father's kingdom. Started for my Father's kingdom. I won't turn back. Oh, I won't turn back. The cross before me, the cross before me, the world behind. Can't you see why I'm so happy? I've accepted the word of the Lord. The prophet. Amen. Oh, don't that make us happy tonight? Praise the Lord, everybody now. Oh, can't you see why this little bride's still happy? We've by the prophet of Malachi. Oh. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise your holy name, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. We worship you tonight, Lord. We magnify your great name, O God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. God bless you, saints. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of the service, we ask, Lord, that you'd help us to be a sheep that will take these things and ruminate. Maybe some or many sat here tonight and they thought, nah, I don't know of anything in my life that's not exactly straight up forward and honest. But Lord, maybe by tomorrow they'll move a little closer in the presence of that light. And they'll find that man who moved beyond the curtain of time in the presence of that light. He began to remember things that he'd said that wasn't just exactly right. Lord, I pray that you would help us, Father, to be the kind of people that'll be an Enoch class. Lord, that we can live, Lord Jesus, in a way that you can rapture us out of this world. For we know the rapture is for the raptured. The resurrection is for the resurrected. And if we have not had a resurrection, we will not be in the resurrection. If we've not been raptured, we will not be in the rapture. Oh, but I hear your prophet say, oh, it means so much nowadays, church, to see ourselves sitting together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Lord, bring us back this weekend. You see, the time we have set for Friday, Lord, time of food and fellowship and just a gathering together, I pray your blessing on it, Lord. Give us some nice weather and some time that we can be together. Grant it, dear God. We love you, Father. Hallelujah. And the saints said,
amen.
Ain't it wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord? Amen. I so appreciate his grace and his mercy to us. I trust this will be a blessing to you, these lives of the prophets. God will help us to be able to take by the humanity. Aren't you glad God let this be written for our admonition? Praise be to God. Go in the fear of God, listening together. We'll walk in the light. It's a beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by day and by night. Jesus, the light of the world. God bless you, Lord. We'll see you Friday or we'll see you on the weekend. We'll walk in the light, such a beautiful light. Come where the dewdrops of mercy are bright. Shine all around us by the light of God. Bless you, saints. Go in the fear of God. I love you. Oh, we'll walk in the light, such a beautiful